This is Sound Effect from 88.5. I'm Gabriel Spitzer. Our theme today is pet projects, and this next story is about a person whose pet project is to make some animals a little bit less pet-like and perhaps a little bit more wild. And I'm joined in studio by the guy who found this story, our colleague Will James. Hey, Will.
Hey, Gabriel.
How did this cross your transom?
The first time I went for a run at Point Defiance Park in Tacoma, I was immediately struck by the sight of raccoons kind of lounging about the trail, often directly adjacent to signs that say "Do not feed the animals," as if daring us to break the rules. And that is a sight that's just hard to get out of your head.
Say more. What was it that it triggered in you that made you want to investigate?
Like any reasonable person, I view raccoons with some suspicion. They creep around at night. They rummage. They have little human hands. But these raccoons struck me as kind of whimsical at first, until I learned a little bit more about them, and they became sort of sympathetic characters.
Oh, it's sympathetic, really? I'm not inclined to sympathize with raccoons. I have to warn you.
Yeah, it turns out the fact that these raccoons are so tame and friendly is a bad thing. It's, you know, they're in some trouble. And that's why I decided to follow around a park ranger around Point Defiance Park for an afternoon, whose mission in life is, as you said, to kind of undomesticate these raccoons.
I assume you have some kind of training in what to do in the event of like a raccoon assault.
Well, I play roller derby, so I think I can handle one.
All right.
My name is Mary Krauser, and I am the park ranger at Point Defiance Park. We are headed into 5 Mile Drive, which is the main roadway that circles through the park, and it drives through our old growth forest. And just so you know, the speed limit is 20.
How hard do you think it will be to find a raccoon?
Usually, if they're out, they're pretty easy to find. They like to sit in full view on the side of the road, even in groups. But they might be deterred by the rain, just like lots of other animals. So there's one, two, on the left.
Nope, there you go.
Oh, wow. Yeah, can we pull?
Yeah, here, I'll pull over here.
Yeah, let's pull over. Oh, wow, they're big. I don't know what I was expecting. So describe what makes these raccoons at Point Defiance Park so unusual.
Well, definitely that they run up to cars is an unusual behavior. And then they also have some strange gestures and postures that they do. So you can see them actually sitting sort of on their rear end on the side of the road, and they'll have either their paws out, like hands asking for food, or sometimes they'll put the paws up and they'll stand on their back legs and reach toward a car window. They will even sit on the left-hand side of the road because every car has a driver. So they've learned all these things just by getting food rewards. Just like you can train a dog using treats to do certain behaviors, these animals over time have learned to do certain things to get snacks. So I've seen people toss out, you know, an entire bag of Wonder Bread, you know, still in the package. I've seen lots of different kinds of cereals and chips. Of course, French fries and things like that. Lots of bread products. People seem to think that raccoons need carbs, and they really don't. Raccoons are animals who should be eating, you know, high-protein stuff, like roots and insects and invertebrates and stuff, not crackers. Hi there!
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
So just want to remind you that we don't allow animal feeding here in the park.
Okay.
They're cute to look at, but we
I just want them.
We can't share any food with them. Yeah, no thank you. Please don't get that close to me, little raccoon.
He stuck his little paws out.
Yes, he did.
So why is it a bad thing that these raccoons are exceptionally friendly and delightful?
For the raccoons here in Point Defiance specifically, some of the top concerns are that raccoons carry diseases that are transmittable to humans and pets like dogs, And if we are feeding raccoons, they're more likely to approach humans and pets. It might also, you know, boost their population because they're getting all this extra food. Females might be able to have more young that survive. So we're going to get a higher population, and that also increases contact between the raccoons and humans and pets.
If the raccoon's population is artificially inflated by humans feeding them, they can be more susceptible to disease? Is that how it works?
That can be how it works, yes. If we have sort of a higher number of animals living here than would normally, you know, be supported by this ecosystem, that can cause a disease that pops up in the population to transmit more easily and cause kind of like a collapse. And that's happened here. Our most recent disease outbreak was canine distemper, and it hit the raccoon population in 2012. And we had a large die-off of animals. And that's something that you see often in species that are being fed by humans. There's one for you. They like to hang out in this kind of drain. Raccoons make so many noises. They will hiss and cluck and chirp and gurgle. What you doing? How are you?
You could tell how smart they are. You can kind of see the little gears turning as they watch us. Oh, there's five of them here. There's three in that.
And I think there's another one.
Are you, like, regular visitors to here?
Yeah, we are.
Can I ask you, do you ever see the raccoons around here? I mean, is that, like, a common occurrence?
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of why we come.
So you actually come...
wildlife.
You come to see the raccoons?
To see the raccoons. We do.
What do you
and
like
the deer.
And the deer.
And the deer.
And the scenery.
What do you like about the raccoons, I guess?
I mean, every time we come, there's something. There's a group of sometimes 15, sometimes little bitty ones. Just standing in the culvert there and just looking so cute.
A lot of people who I talk to think that they're doing something nice for the raccoon. And maybe they have memories of, you know, their grandma bringing them to Point Defiance when they were little and they would feed the raccoons. So now they're bringing their kids to, you know, feed the raccoons and show them how cute they are. So I think for a lot of people, it's very sentimental. And so I try to, you know, come at it also from that emotional standpoint of this is actually not helping these animals. And if you care about them, which I really believe these people do care about these animals, the best thing that you can do is to help them act more wild, not less wild.
Do you know that the feeding of the raccoons here at this park have been going on for that long, like that someone's grandma brought them here?
Yes, people have been feeding raccoons at Point Defiance Park for decades. In general, we have a history of using animals and even nature for entertainment. Humans have a tendency to anthropomorphize animals and just say, oh, they're cute and I should, you know, give them my snack so they'll come closer to me. I think it's a very common behavior that's not just here in Point Defiance.
Is this the eighth raccoon we've seen? Or like the ninth?
At least. Hey, sleepy little buddy? What you doing? That was a yawn, I think. Go take a nap. Come out at night like a normal person. We are making direct eye contact right now. Terrible.
That story from 88.5's Will James, who's with me in the studio now. Will, were you scared?
I was a little scared, but I think overall it made me a little bit sad. The fact that, you know, we love animals, we want to be close to wildlife, but the fact that we care about these animals requires us to keep our distance from them in a way.
It's like love in so many areas of life, isn't it?
It is. It certainly is.
Did you talk much about rabies? Because I don't know about you, but I am like petrified of rabies, which basically is kind of certain death.
In fact, before we went on this excursion, I did confess to Ranger Mary that I did not have a rabies vaccination up to date. And she was kind enough to inform me that humans don't typically get or need those, which was a relief.
But that also means that you're still you get them after you get rabies.
Yeah, it turns out. Yeah, it turns out it's a treatable condition.
Just one other thing. She alludes to this at the very end, but you were there in the middle of the day, right?
Yes.
Aren't raccoons supposed to be nocturnal?
They are, unless over the course of years and generations, you train them not to be.
Is it possible that at some point all these behaviors will change so radically over so many generations that we could evolve a species of domesticated raccoons?
I don't see why not. You know, I made a bunch of comparisons to Jurassic Park as we were driving in this car through this forest looking for these creatures that we were afraid would be driven into their hiding places by the rain. And, you know, as they say in Jurassic Park, just because we can do it, I don't know if we should.
Clever girl. Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Gabriel.